Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, it's chapter 2, starting at verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for you and the child and try to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod's death. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets, "Out of Egypt I call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in the vicinity who were 2 years old or under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel's weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, in the palace of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." I want us to think this morning about story. We've heard a fantastic story over the Christmas period. We call it the Christmas story. But I want to think this morning about story. As we read in that passage about Joseph taking Jesus and Mary into Egypt to fulfill what the prophets said, and then coming to Nazareth to fulfill what the prophets had said, I want us to think this morning about the Jewish story, the story of the Hebrews, the story that they had, going way back, the people who were the forerunners of Jesus, the people who Jesus came to speak truth to and bring life to. So I want to take us back this morning to Exodus. Nice Christmas passage. Woo! Think about Exodus and just think about the story of the people of God. Just think about some of the key moments in their history, in the book of Exodus, some of the key things that pointed out that they were the people of God. And I'm going to try to illustrate this by writing it on the screen. My handwriting is appalling, I apologise. So if you can't follow it, just ignore it. But it'll make me feel happier anyway. So it starts with them coming out of Egypt. The people of God have spent time in Egypt. Joseph took his brothers and his family into Egypt. They became slaves, and they prospered, though, in Egypt. And God brought them out of Egypt. They were slaves, and God brought freedom to them. They were freed from the land of Egypt. So the story of the people of God in Exodus starts with Egypt, the place of Egypt. And they come out of Egypt, and then there's the story about the Red Sea, of the parting of the Red Sea. And we see that in Exodus chapter 14, this whole story about the water. It starts with Egypt, they then pass through the water, and then where do they end up? They end up in the wilderness. They end up there. Out of Egypt, through the water, into the wilderness. And then we see in Exodus chapter 16, they start moaning they've got no food, and we see the provision of manna. We then see bread from heaven. So these four things, these four plot lines that come in the book of Exodus between chapter 12 and chapter 16 are key aspects of the people of God, their story. And constantly through the scriptures, God's reminding the people of God to go, think back to when I brought you out of Egypt. Think back to all that I've done for you. Think back to the story. And at this point, God gives them something called Passover. Because when the power of God shows up in your life, it's not just for that one moment. It's something that can be used to fuel even the bad times in your life. Even the hard times, go, yeah, God has been with me. It's like that great poem, isn't it? Footprints in the Sand, which we can kind of go, it's a bit tween, a bit Christian. But the idea of footprints in the sand is saying, even in the hard times of life, in fact, God was not there. God was there. He was carrying us through the tough times of life. Think back to the story that you've got. And we think about story and the power of our story and the power of other people's story. When I was a young person, I was taught about how to do evangelism. And and we were taught three things about how to share faith. We were taught about three stories. The three stories are important. The three stories that are crucial to everything that we do in our life together. See, because all of us have got a story. So it starts with my story. But it's saying, actually, as we live our story, we also engage with others' stories. But actually, the third story that's involved in life is God's story. These are the three stories that we find, which sounds to me a little bit like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. That these are the three aspects of community. Our community with us in our relationship to God and our relationship to other people. And I was taught that if you want to talk to people about Jesus and about sharing your faith and sharing life with them, you start in the process of listening to other people's story. You don't start by bashing them with Jesus and saying, do you know Jesus? You say, what's your story? Who are you? And you spend time getting to know people and saying, you have value and I care about your story, the journey that you've been on in the good times and the bad times. What's your story? And the first part to understanding living a life for Jesus is being prepared to listen to other people's story. And as you listen to other people's story, you can share part of your story. You can share who you are. And you can share that intimacy between two people of sharing the deepness of each other's hearts. This happened to me, and this happened to me. It's like, wow, we've gone to a deeper level by sharing. But then, if you're a Christian, as you share your story, you can't help but tell God's story. Because if you're a Christian, God will be part of everything that you do. He'll be part of your story. And so it's saying, if we want to share with other people who God is and what he's about, it starts by listening. And it starts by sharing our story and being prepared to share our lives and open our lives up to other people so that actually we can then share and tell God's story. And hopefully, maybe, they might come to know the wonderful good news of Jesus, of how awesome it is to be saved by grace, that actually we haven't got to do anything to be saved apart from our faith and trust in Jesus, because nothing that we can do to make ourselves righteous, only he can do it. And it's sharing our stories. Stories are really powerful. Jesus spends majority of his ministry teaching people through stories. He didn't go, do you know about the theology of Exodus or Deuteronomy? He says, let me tell you what God's like. Let me tell you what God's kingdom's like. God's kingdom's like a sower who goes out to sow some seed. And sometimes it falls on some good stuff, sometimes it falls in bad places. If it falls on good soil, it's obviously going to grow. If it falls on bad soil, it's not going to grow. The kingdom of God's like that. Where there's something good, something will grow. The kingdom of God is, it's like a lamp, burning bright. And actually, if you cover the lamp up, then it doesn't shine very brightly. But if you put it up in a high place, it gives light to everyone. Jesus tells simple stories to say, this is what God is like. Tells the story of God through story. So all I really want to share with you today is thinking about how Jesus lived his life, demonstrating the story of the Jewish people. They could identify with his story because it was their story. He engaged with people where they were at. Are we prepared to engage with the people around us where they're at? Or do you want them to come and be where we're at first? It's not going to happen. Are we prepared to listen to the people around us? To understand their story, who they are, what their needs are, their desires are, what their heart is. And then share something about who we are and how God's touched our lives. Storytelling is a powerful, powerful action. Some of the most powerful films you can ever watch are the films that are based on a true story. Because you go, wow, it's actually happened. And you go, wow, it can inspire you. And it can make you emotional. It can make you happy. It can make you sad. Stories are powerful things. What's your story? What are the stories of the people around you? Have you ever asked them? People at work or people at college? People you know? Have you ever asked them what their story is? Are you prepared to listen? Are you prepared to share your story? Are you prepared to tell God's story? Let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you for the message of Christmas, the story that we hear. But Lord, it's a story which speaks to all of us. A story that speaks to the lowest shepherd, Lord, to the richest king. Lord, we thank you that your grace is for everyone. But Lord, you don't discriminate between rich or poor. Lord, those who are happy and those who are sad. Lord, your grace is for the whole world. Your love is for everyone. And we thank you that it's open to all. Help us share your story as we listen to the story of other people. Amen.